Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the crew, I ask that you please direct your attention to the crew members in the aisles as we review the emergency procedures. There are 6 emergency exits on this aircraft. Take a minute to locate the exit closest to you. Note that the nearest exit may be behind you. Should the cabin experience sudden pressure loss, stay calm and listen for the instructions from the cabin crew. Oxygen masks will drop down from above your seat. Place the mask over your mouth and nose like this. Pull the strap to tighten it. Make sure that your own mask is on first before helping children or idiots. In the unlikely event of an emergency landing and evacuation, leave your carry-on items behind. Start your life fresh with nothing. Leave your emotional and physical baggage behind you and learn to build all that you need. Life rafts are located below your seats, and emergency lighting will lead you to your closest exit and slide. We ask that you make sure all carry-on luggage is stowed away safely during the flight, and always remember, this is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world, all of the news, none of the politics. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are... It's the blunderer from Down Underer, John Robertson. Welcome back to the most dangerous game.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Alice. How are you?
I'm well. Sorry, I should have mentioned the most dangerous game part of this. All Gargle guests are paid only in prawn cocktails, and after the recording, your premium level Alice Fraser Patreon subscribers are allowed to hunt you for sport.
Oh, that's okay. The anaphylactic shock from the prawn cocktails will kill me first.
And welcome back, the triple threat. If you're easily threatened by someone who can do rugby and talk about it on stage, returning to the illustrious audio pages of this pretend magazine, it's Keris Bradley. Welcome.
Hello. What's the third thing? If my threats are rugby and talking about rugby, what's the third threat?
That's an unspecified threat, the most threatening threat of all.
Just a general aura.
just a menace. The front cover of the magazine this week is the kangaroo who was tied down by Rolf Harris, telling us all about its new life, fresh start and happy family. A quote on the front cover, "Every leap for a kangaroo is a redemption arc." It's a joke about how kangaroos go boing, boing, boing. The satirical cartoon this week is the grittier reboot of the gritty Disney reboot of The Little Mermaid. This time, Ariel is still half fish, half woman, but bisected vertically instead of horizontally. She must woo her prince in profile, and the sea witch Ursula is still half woman, half octopus. But this time, the octopus bit is the top half and the person bit is on the bottom, but it still squirts ink. Don't ask me how. And our top story this week is sociolinguistics news, and this is the news that American Zoomers, which is the youth, not the people on Zoom, which is who we are now, the youth of America are now faking British accents as a coping mechanism. Keris, you've coped with a lot. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, so Americans are using bad British accents to say the things that they like, just to express the negative parts of themselves. So people who've been watching your classic, like, posh dramas with posh accents, but then also loads of reality TV, like Love Island type shows, they're now doing terrible impressions of the people on that those shows every time they have to be passive aggressive or ask someone to do something that they kind of feel bad that they have to ask them to do that thing, or have to say something uncomfortable to their boss. They'll be like, oh, I'll just use an accent, and then it won't be like I'm saying it, it'll be like the character that I'm performing is saying it. And then some sociolinguistics now have decided that that's like a real phenomenon that we should study, is if we didn't all spend the whole of the pandemic pissing about in our like apartments doing loads of different accents. Well, this is just something everybody does. It's not a story just because Americans are doing it.
Well, certainly every comedian has done forever, just create a character in order to distance yourself from your own awful opinions. Yeah. John Robertson, you sit there with your dyed white hair in front of your palace of dreams.
Yep. Yeah, it's horrifying how wet these dreams are. It's an absolute non-story. It's astonishing. My favourite part is one, they go, Zoomers are doing this, and the first person they interview is 32 years old. So that's a millennial, I believe, is what that's called. And the part where they went, fake British accent on TikTok has 188,000, thousand searches. Like, well, that's nothing. That's exactly nothing in the world of TikTok, you know. Man farts. Call me when the kids are putting cinnamon in their mouths again. That was pretty good the first time.
Have you ever done an accent to distance yourself from something that you've had to say?
Yeah, I do an Australian accent to distance myself from having to say something. I didn't have a really broad Australian accent till I moved here, because like a German comic said that to me. And I'm going to do his. He went, you know, I notice when we are back at your home, you are a nice middle class boy. And then you come out here and it's like you are Crocodile Dundee. And it's like, yeah, g'day, oh, you know, it's an odd thing.
That's not an accent. This is an accent.
Yes. And that's exactly right. And I do it. I do it over here because people go, oh, look at that deranged man. And then they go, and he's making an amusing noise. As distinct from, look at that deranged man. Oh, I see. He was pampered by his mother. And, oh, right, okay. This is what happens when you're just told yes all your life. You know, which is a bit less sympathetic, perhaps. You know, then he ripped the lungs out of a lizard or something. So.
My partner and I got very into doing accents in lockdown. So we had Jeff and Jeff, who are two divorced commentators who then just narrate our lives. So whenever we see someone doing something that we don't like in the street, we'll be like, oh, Jeff, oh, the kids these days, what's happening with that, Jeff? And then we'll Jeff and Jeff for a bit. And I know that everybody else can hear us, but they can't hear us. They can hear Jeff and Jeff, so it's totally fine. And I also had Hans, the little German boy, who my partner will not let me do in the house anymore because she finds him terrifying. But that was, I think that was like third lockdown, so we were quite deep in by that point.
Do it, do the little German boy.
He wanders around and he sneaks up on her and he says, oh, hello, it is Hans, will you play with Hans? And she says, no, get off me! And that's Hans' little German boy. He's it's quite bad at the moment because he's not been allowed out for a very long time, so I'm quite rusty. But
I feel like in every long-term relationship there is implied consent to Hans' little German boy. To a roving Hans here and there.
If you're marrying me, you're marrying Hans' little German boy. This is it's in the vows.
I'm starting to worry this is everything the American right fears is happening.
Wait, isn't everything that the American right fears happening everything?
Yeah, they're doing it.
Politics,
it's amazing.
Bell-ped.
Yeah, usually. Oh, yeah, sorry. Whoops.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Are you dried up on a 14-hour flight? Try misting your face with a few drops of rose water or orange blossom dispersed in about 100 millilitres of water. It used to be half a glass of water, but then the airport rules changed. Thanks, Osama bin Laden. And you've heard of Friedrich Nietzsche, Immanuel Kant, Bertrand Russell, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Soren Kierkegaard, Arthur Schopenhauer, Karl Marx. Now, meet the guy they're all named after. It's Phil, the man who invented philosophy. Yes, that Phil. He's of an indeterminate age, but he's definitely got either a hat or a hairstyle he thinks means something, and he'll tell you all about what he's thinking about stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Phil. dating news now, and this is the news that there is now a new job in this terrifying economy of rising living costs and horrible job going awayness. There is now a new job, if you want to be a freelancer, to lure lonely people through the network of dating apps that exists in the world. John Robertson, you've guided people down some dark paths in the past. Can you unpack this story for us?
You don't have to bring up how many times I've sold heroin. Yes, this is an appalling story. People going on various apps, whether they are looking for love or looking for a casual fling, are being charged, money to speak to what is essentially an actor. It's somebody sitting there with a profile. They can see all of the person's profile information. They can see whether they have kids, where they live, whether they've been to therapy. All of their chat stuff is saved. And then, rather like talking to a telemarketer who then says, oh, I just happen to be a rich divorcee from this area near you, and at $2 a message, I will let you form a relationship with me, a non-existent person. They speak. It's amazing. They'll speak to these people for 2 minutes at a time, and they might perform up to 30 different people over the course of a shift. Feels ethical to me.
Karis?
Well, I'm just waiting for the Netflix rom-com where a person who's pretending to be 30 other people meets another person who's pretending to be 30 other people, and then they just keep accidentally meeting with all of their different personalities and always hitting it off until they eventually find out that they are, living in the same city and they've been in love with each other the whole time.
Until at last Hans, the little German boy, finds his true match.
I am also waiting for 60 weddings and a funeral. I think that would be great.
I don't think that this is such a... everything on the internet is a lie. When I was at university, I used to make extra cash by writing fake Yelp reviews where you would get sent a list of restaurants and then you'd Google the restaurants, imagine having a meal there, and then write positive Yelp reviews for the restaurants. So this is just the whole of the internet. This happens all the time. And what I really love about the story is that when... So a lot of these people that they interviewed said that they didn't know what they were signing up for. They thought they were getting the jobs were all advertised as translators or content moderators or things like that. So they thought they were getting that kind of job. And then they found out that actually their job was to lie to loads of people. And so those people who were then employed by these companies started subcontracting their work to people in other countries. So they are scamming the companies who are scamming the buyers by saying that they would do the work, but actually they've got someone who lives in a country with much lower living costs to do the 42 hours or whatever it was of grunt work, and then send them the, and then they put it through. So it's an elaborate web of lies, which I think should be respected as well as feared.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week our guest editors bring in something to review out of 5 stars. What have you brought in for us this week, Karis?
I've brought in my notebook, seeing as how there's now a video being made of this. This is my notebook. I will describe it for the podcast listeners. It is a very cute blue notebook which has a fluffy daisy with googly eyes on the front, and I thought it was very cute and I was very sad, so I bought it for myself, and it's an absolute nightmare to write anything on the left-hand pages because it's got a massive bobbly daisy on the back, so I can't use half the notebook, but it does get you a lot of compliments, so I give it 3.5 stars.
3.5 stars, the unusable review, as we comedians like to call it, which is apt for an unusable notebook, so I appreciate that very much. John Robertson, what have you brought in for us this week?
I'd like to review the experience of walking in a park with the very jet-lagged Alice Fraser on the afternoon of the death of disgraced Australian entertainer Rolf Harris, where you turn to Alice and go, yeah, I read about that on the train. I sent out a really dumb tweet about it. And Alice, talking to you like maybe she would, while humouring a child or a lunatic, goes, well, John, if that gets more than 15 likes, you can read it out on the show tomorrow. And 875 likes later, If the headlines don't use "dimey pedophile down sport," I'll be very surprised. The worst joke I have ever written. And thanks to Elon throttling my Twitter account, the most successful tweet I've had in 3 months. Five stars. I'll be in one of those, the shovel roundups or something.
Climate emergency news now, and this is the news that enhanced rock weathering might be able to help climate change. Keris, you've seen a rock. Can you unpack this story for us?
So humans have found another way to stop feeling guilty about climate change is the headline on this story. Because obviously we've f***ed it so badly, and we haven't brought the CO2 levels down, or we haven't done enough to stop them from rising. So now people are looking at ways that you can absorb the CO2 that we've already put in the atmosphere. And all the trees are like, hey, that's our job. We're really good at it. And then we have polluted so much that even the trees can't handle it. And so they've worked out that there are particular kind of rocks that react with rainwater, and then that takes the CO2 out of the air because of science. And all we have to do is blow up a bunch of those rocks and then spread them around the earth, presumably using things like tractors and helicopters and planes. And that's going to solve all of our problems. So there you go. Buy the second Range Rover. There's no consequences anymore. That's what I got from the story.
I mean, except that Range Rovers are the most stolen car in the UK, according to recent data.
Good. I once saw a Range Rover try to come off a roundabout which had a cycle lane on it, and because there was a barrier between the car bit and the cycle bit, the Range Rover no longer fit in the gap that they had made for cars, and so was just stuck on a roundabout forever. I think it's the only good bit of cycle infrastructure that I've seen in this city.
My only contribution to this story at all is that the lead scientist that they've spoken to is Jim Mann, which sounds suspiciously like one of the made-up names I've been dating lately. Good old Jim Mann and Tom Person, who hangs out next to him.
Yeah, Jim Mann, short for Gymnasium Hemisphere.
Oh, yeah, he's toxic. It's great. It's really fun. Look at my abs. Ignore my personality, he says.
And this is genuinely exciting environment news. Our next story is that up to 8% of housing material can be replaced with dirty nappies in order to make building houses more sustainable. John Robertson, you've changed a dirty nappy in your time. Can you unpack this story?
Yeah, I certainly... When did I do this? I'm not yes-ending this. This never happened. This has come out of Japan and seems like just a fantastic thing to do. The sand is the problem, apparently. But, there's huge amounts of piles of wasteful, waste-filled nappies around the world. And I'll tell you something, if these houses were being built in London, they'd be more expensive than the normal ones. This is, huge amounts of money for shit. And that should be familiar to anyone trying to buy a house in any city in the Western world.
Keris, would you buy a house made out of 8% dirty nappies?
I mean, I would buy any house that I could afford. Give me a house. Yeah. But what I really like about this, I've put this in my list of like worst PhD research projects, because what the project was to find how much nappy can you put in concrete before the house falls down. That was the research question. And so they cleaned all of these nappies, like scraped all of the poo out of them, like chemically treated them, broke them down, and then took the leftover material and took some of the sand out of the concrete, which was very resource intensive to get, and filled it with nappies instead. And they said, well, let's put this much nappy in. Oh no, that house has fallen down. That house is still standing. And they found their nappy threshold. And that would be like your whole 3-year research project, because they had to clean all of the nappies by hand. And that's all one research student did.
I know, I found my nappy threshold, he said.
This is why you do a performance studies degree. We never had to do that crap.
I didn't study performance. I'm just naturally this bad.
I think this is up there with the research student in America who had to wank off dolphins for her doctorate.
You apply for your own doctorate. Thank you very much.
Is this the one that the dolphin fell in love with?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a sad story.
But it was a house made completely out of concrete, no nappies involved. So unfortunately, yeah. No crossover with the two stories.
Keris, tell Alice.
There was a research project to see if you could have a dolphin as a pet, like a cat or a dog. And obviously, you can't.
Unless your house is very wet. Which yes. All of our houses will be soon, so carry on.
That's okay. The nappies will absorb the water.
So they built this house that was kind of half submerged in water, and the human lived in the human bit and the dolphin lived in the dolphin bit, and then they would kind of interact like you would play with a cat or a dog. And they got this research student to live with the dolphin for a certain amount of time. But dolphins are very horny. And I think the thing that a lot of people don't understand about dolphins, because they have very good PR, is that they do want to have sex with humans. And so this dolphin, they picked the wrong dolphin. It was a very, very horny dolphin. And it wouldn't do anything because it just wanted to hump the research student. And so then she, in order to do any research, had to wank the dolphin off with her foot before it would comply with any of the tests. And that, in the name of science, was decided to be like a good enough trade-off. I think they put it maybe in the limitations of the paper. I don't think it was like actually intended step three of the methodology. And now,
which is why you should never read science journalism headlines without checking the limitations in the abstract of the
yes.
of the paper that as it's published, because you don't know whatever it is. Three tomatoes a day are healthy for you if you've wanked off a dolphin first. You know, you have to be careful.
So how many sustainable homes are we making from dolphin semen? Oh, I'm sorry. I lost the thread of what we were talking about.
We have to find the threshold first. You're going to have to... Yeah. You're going to have to masturbate a lot of dolphins to find out.
How much cum stops the building falling down?
To be honest, with the state of academia at the moment, there is definitely someone out there that would take that fellowship. If it was guaranteed 3 years of funding, yes.
There's a social media influencer. I can just see some brawny bald bloke with a beard being like, dolphin semen!
I mean, this is what we need eccentric billionaires for.
Mm. Yeah.
To go down this alley. See, this is an interesting question, Ped, as an editor of this illustrious paper. How much beeping do you think you can put in here? Because it's not as though we're being explicit.
I'm only bleeping this bit.
And with that, we come to the end of this week's edition of the magazine. We're flipping through the ad section at the back. Keris, have you got anything to plug?
Yes. Two things. I'm doing lots of work in progress as of my new show, Not Overthinking Things 2019, which is coming to Edinburgh Fringe this summer. So you can go see it in Cardiff, you can see it in Croydon, you can see it in Colchester. I'm not going to any cities that don't begin with the letter C, so that's unfortunate for anybody who lives anywhere else. And then Boys Night is back. It will be in Oxford at the Old Fire Station on the 24th of June. So if you want to come see a whole bunch of boys and make a lot of noise, then you should get tickets for that.
You absolutely should get tickets for that. It's a great night. John Robertson, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah, I am on tour with my live-action video game show, The Dark Room. That's going all around the UK until the end of the year. We've got Oxford, the Edinburgh Fringe, London, Manchester, just everywhere you care to name, unless it's one of those towns I'm not going to, in which case I'm sure that I'll get some nice emails from people going, but why not my shithole town? It's like, well, because I don't have any money. But yeah, if you go to thejohnrobertson.com, you can see me there, and there's all my social media and my Twitch channel.
And thank you to our roving reporters, James VT, who sent in the Zuma accent story, C Lips, who sent in the freelance catfishing story, Martin John Green, who sent in the magic dust story, and PK, who sent in the nappy house story. If you would like to be a roving reporter for The Gargle, tweet us at Hello Garglers. We have two live Gargle shows on the 15th and the 22nd in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. If you would like to see the first ever and second ever live Gargles, come to Edinburgh and watch them on either the 15th or the 22nd of August. and I will be all around London and the UK. You can find my gigs on alicefraser.com or patreon.com/alicefraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, blogs, my weekly tea with Alice Salons, and my weekly writers' meetings. If you would like to write with me, go and sign up there. It's pretty good value. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Searching for the perfect gift idea for that hard-to-buy person on your list? The Allbirds Wool Runner is a natural fit. The Wool Runner is super cozy, super comfy, and super giftable. It's made with ZQ-certified merino wool, a naturally cozy material that offers next-level comfort and a lower environmental impact. The cushioned midsole and versatile design offer all-day comfort in a classic style you can wear every day, even in a winter wonderland. And its fully machine-washable construction makes it easy to keep your shoes looking like new. Allbirds shows off the Wool Runner's carbon footprint right on the shoe so you can see the difference for yourself. On top of that, they actually offset that carbon footprint to zero, making the Wool Runner completely carbon neutral, so you can stay cozy and tread lighter on the planet. This holiday season, give tidings for comfort and coziness with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com. That's A-L-L-B-I-R-D-S.com.